Hi, my name is Martin from Philly. USB battery, and it will charge a cell phone about 3 times. It's made by Proporta. That's Proporta.com. And this battery has 2 USB ports on it, a mini USB port to plug the battery in to charge it, and then a regular USB port to have this battery charge your cell phone. And this is a 3400 milliamp hour battery. Takes about the normal time that it would take your charger, about an hour and a half. What the battery comes with is a USB cable, the USB port on one end, a round connector on the other end, and you can plug in the different heads, connector heads for your phone. It comes with 7 connectors, an iPhone connector, a mini USB connector, a micro USB connector, and Nokia connectors. And you can also buy additional connectors for Motorola, etc.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Law.
Welcome to Serotalk
Number nine.
Anyway.
You know, it sounded like he was peeing in some bushes during a part. Did you ever hear that? It really did sound like he was peeing in bushes or something.
Oh, yeah. I played that stuff in high school, played it backwards.
Did it give you any messages, any satanic messages or any of that kind of stuff?
No, I didn't play it on a real high-end system. Maybe there was more that I could have heard on a better set of speakers. Of course, back then, we didn't have things like SoundForge.
Maybe the Grim Reaper could have gotten through to you better, right?
Well, now, you know, things like SoundForge, you know. Now, my son, you know, he's playing Another One Bites the Dust backwards. You know what that says? It kind of sounds like it's saying.
No, I haven't heard that one. You got to tell me that off the air.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I could say it on the air. It's not dirty. Oh. Maybe controversial to some, but...
What does it say? It
says, I want to smoke marijuana.
No.
Yeah, it does. It really does sound like it, so...
Oh, well, you know, hey, listen, that may be a good idea in some circles.
There you go. It's
much better than anything about dust. But anyway.
You got that right, buddy.
We're going in a different direction, well, I guess, in the podcast.
We's all over the road. But speaking of number nine, and at the age of 90, the legendary Paul Harvey passed away on Saturday the 28th out in Arizona.
That's horrible.
Paul was definitely an influence on me. I mean, it's hard to say in what way, how I would be different if I hadn't heard him. But I can tell you, he definitely sparked my interest in the whole concept of doing more on the radio than music. Just the idea that you could report a story and then put in your 2 cents and actually comment on things.
He was awesome. I mean, I used to listen to him every day in the shower. Good day. You know, I mean, he was just, and then when his son took over, you know, but they'd kind of roll Paul out to do the commercials from time to time. And he, if there is a voice of aging America, that was it. I mean, Paul Harvey was the voice of the boomer, the voice of the senior. He was an inspiration to all of us who have even toyed around with radio, and our prayers are with his family at this time. 90, he was not a young man, so he lived a full life.
And I didn't know. They talked about Angel, his wife. Her actual name was Lynn, and she was actually involved as a producer for quite a while, too.
Yeah. She passed away a year ago. Right. So, she I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way it goes when – you know, I don't know if statistics actually show that if you've got people that have been married for a real long time and one goes, it's not long before the other goes.
Yeah,
I mean, they just miss each other, man.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal percentage that where the other spouse will leave in the next year or so.
Yeah, it's actually quite beautiful if you really think about it, that people care so much about each other that they just miss each other so much that they just die. I mean, that's an amazing thing to me. Of course, at 41, I can't even imagine such a thing, let alone I can't imagine losing my wife, but let alone I can't imagine dying yet. I mean, I've got a whole lot more bugging people to do before I go.
Yeah, a few more orders to kick out, a few more deals to make, a few more.
Speaking of deals, we've got CSUN coming up. And yes. I get to see you again, because anybody who listens to the podcast knows that we're all in different places. And Michael's out in Indiana, and I'm in Florida, and Ricky's in North Carolina, and various people in different parts of the country. And we're all going to be working our way to California for CSUN. And Michael, you're going to be doing the whole interview thing again, right?
That's right. It's the Whirlwind Tour. I'm going to hit the ground around noon on Thursday the 19th and leave Friday evening around 11 p.m. So any vendors out there would like to speak with me, you know, drop us an email to content@serotech.com. Definitely want to get by and speak with you Thursday afternoon and Friday. Just a lot going on. If you, a user, want us to try to connect with a certain company, we'll do our best. I don't think we'll be able to hit everyone in that short span, but we will definitely try to get the highlights and all the companies with announcements, and I'll put the material up on SamNet Radio so people can kind of stay on top of what's going on.
I think it's so important that we provide information. You know, after we did the first one at ATIA, I can't tell you how many emails we've gotten just thanking us from the community, even from other companies. There were blog posts that were talking about, wow, you know, these guys, they posted information about just different technologies that had nothing to do with the blindness market, but did have to do with the disability market in total. And that's really what we want Serotalk to be, folks, is your information source just for whatever it is that you're looking for, just to live your life independently, to stay connected, to be involved in society on a day-to-day basis. And I'm really excited about Serotech kind of spearheading this and being able to provide this type of access to you instantaneously, not regurgitated, not spun, but just straight from the horse's mouths, you know, at the show, and really being able to give people an opportunity to let their product shine and speak for themselves. And we're happy to do it, and we definitely look forward to being able to share that with you once again, not just this year, but hopefully in the years to come. And speaking of cooperation, let me tell you that the Amazon people, I can't believe that they were not cooperating with the blindness community to allow the accessibility to their Kindle 2 product.
Well, and let's, in all fairness, let's assume that it, as many companies, it's honestly not something that they thought of.
No, you're not buying it, dude. Because first of all, let's look at this for a minute. All of a sudden, how they must have anticipated this. Jeff Bezos must have anticipated this, because within, you know, hours, they were able to say, okay, we can give the publisher the ability to turn off the ability to read their books. And that to me, as a blind person, using the words of Daryl Shandro over there at Blind Access Journal, that's a blind people keep out sign. I mean, that is just that's just unabashed discrimination against blind people.
Well, it is, but now he made a smart legal move. He put the own back on the publishers, saying, okay, it's up to you. You can disable it.
So that was now a CYA move. That wasn't a smart legal move.
Well, maybe not smart legal. Definitely CYA, yes.
Oh, no doubt. And that's the thing that really bugs me. And that's why we're really encouraging you to go to the Serotalk homepage and click on the link to make Amazon have that Kindle 2 accessible. Listen,
I just reached 500 signatures, and yeah, I believe we can go well over 1,000.
Yeah, I can't really say that I embrace all the legal maneuverings that have taken place in the past from the blind consumer groups, although they have unfortunately made their dent. We wouldn't have talking ATMs today. Conversely, we wouldn't have Braille and drive-up ATMs either. That's very important.
But that's the great thing about these petitions, is it doesn't have to be legal. If we show the demand, you look at the Disney DVD with over 2,200 signatures.
Well, no, and actually the announcement of our petition got announced on Buzz Out Loud, our brothers and sisters in podcasting over at CNET. So we really want you to go out there, Twitter about this. Put it on your Facebook page, put it on your MySpace page. Get the information out there. Let people know that they need to sign this petition, because Amazon is basically punking down, and they know that they've got a legal leg to stand on. I mean, come on, people. This is accessibility. To state that reading a book with text-to-speech to someone is a performance, a public performance. It's just ludicrous. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I don't care how good text-to-speech gets. That is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, and that would benefit Amazon because screen readers are obviously excluded from public work. So if they made talking menus, they would essentially have a screen reader and would have a portal for themselves. But bigger than that, some people don't want to sign it, maybe because, oh, I don't want to buy a Kindle. It has nothing to do with whether you want to buy the Kindle or not. It doesn't even matter if you're visually impaired or not, because certainly sighted people will benefit from the technologies as well, whether you're driving or cooking or doing something else. And Amazon has stated they want to be the primary ebook vendor. So you got to think beyond this particular device, whether you want it or not, of just the fact that if Amazon's going to be controlling the ebooks, you need to make your statement very early on that you want Amazon to think about accessibility from the ground up.
And blind people, that is really dangerous. These people have a lot of money. They have a lot of power with the publishers. And quite candidly, you know, we could be left behind and left out of this whole thing. So we need to stand up as a community. That's exactly what this is about. This is not about being jerks. This is not about screaming, you know, we're pissed off blind people and we want our share. It's a matter of saying, listen, we're blind consumers. We have a dollar in our pocket. We want the choice to buy this thing or to say it sucks. We don't want it. But otherwise, when you make the decision for me, that's patronizing. That's condescending. And quite candidly, it's calling me a third-class citizen, and I resent that, you know, as a consumer that, you know, that goes to work every day and helps in this faltering economy that we have right now, you know. So I hope I speak for a lot of the community.
And Mike, we have a special guest here. Why don't you introduce him? You two go back a little way.
I originally started in accessible cell phones a number of years ago. The first product on the market ever, to my knowledge, was talks by these two guys in Germany, a guy named Torsten and Marcus, and we have Torsten with us today.
And, hello.
And hi. And at that point, you know, this is way back. I had a 9290, which was this big cell phone that James Bond used to use in his movies. Is the first place people ever saw it. It was a communicator, Michael. It was this big phone with a QWERTY keyboard on it, and it was kind of funky looking. They actually supported this phone, but I was astounded that a blind person could actually use an accessible cell phone. From there, I moved on to a Nokia 6600, and this is all on the Symbian operating system. And my Nokia 6600 did great things for me. Talking probably about 3-4 years ago, broadband started getting to the mobile platform and just traveling all over the place and running the company. And I had to leave Symbian because T-Mobile, my favorite carrier of all time here in the States, was just offering Edge. And Edge is kind of like getting the internet through two cans and a string. So I decided at that point to move on to a Pocket PC. And of course, at that point, the only people doing Pocket PC were the mobile speak folks. So I moved over to Sprint and just got kind of tired of the whole Windows mobile operating system. It had nothing to do with mobile speak. They have a great product. I was on a Motorola Q. I just didn't want the QWERTY keyboard anymore. I actually found that I text faster on the regular telephone keypad. I actually went out and got a hold of an N82 from Earl over at Handy Tech and the latest copy of Talks. And let me tell you, it was like riding a bike. I got back to T-Mobile and have enjoyed the last 3 weeks or so with my N82. It is a very powerful cell phone, as you know, Michael, because you have one.
My first phone, and I started off with mobile speak, and I did not find it to be stable and thought, well, this Symbian's really not as good as they claim. Went to Talks, and everything's great.
In the browser, do you have quick keys kind of to jump to headings and
yes,
and that kind of thing? What are they?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all described in the manual, but
just to get from heading to heading.
That's number 4, like H.
Ah, okay.
A link to get to the next link would be number 5, like L. To get to the next non-link would be 6. The next text entry field would be T. Press 0 to go to the top and bottom of the window. And, well, we didn't want to make all objects available.
No, of course.
Which I found too complicated. We thought about it for a while.
How about drop-down lists? Are you handling those okay?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's what looks fun.
That's something that we have on the network. We have what we call a simplified menu view, where everything is in a list instead of being in a web page. Everything yes. is in a list, which
That's
makes
no problem. When you press select on any object for a list, it would open the list. You can then cursor up and down. You can also press keys to and enter the letter of the first letters of a list entry. If you're looking for something, if you have a combo box, you can do that.
It's even more responsive. It seems to me that it's significantly faster than Tox than the version 3X. The interface is just so elegant. It's so simple to use. Using that with the SA Mobile network is just a breeze. It really works well, and you never know what could come out of that. I really would like to give you the opportunity to just kind of share a little bit with our Serotalk users of what's going on at Nuance. These two very innovative guys from Germany ended up getting purchased by Nuance. Torsten, you're a blind guy, right?
Yes.
It's really great when you see a blind person get bought. Ted Henter did a great thing with Freedom. And when you see a mainstream company like Nuance really take interest in a blindness product, and I'm sure that your technologies, Torsten, have found their way into other Nuance products that you'd probably have to kill me before you could tell me. Nuance has been very supportive of Tox, and that's just very exciting to me to meet another blind person that had the entrepreneurial spirit that went out there and said, you know, this is a market. I'm not going to depend on the government to buy this product for people. I'm going to go out and I'm going to deal with the people themselves, let them decide if they want this product and buy it and keep the price at such a price point where, you know, yeah, a screen reader for a cell phone is more expensive than, say, you know, I don't know, a calendar application or whatever, but it does so much more. And it really does change my life. My cell phone, I'd be lost without it. And it's to guys like you and Edward at Code Factory that I really owe a great deal of my career, because were it not to be for your tools, I just wouldn't be able to do the things that I do. And I think I speak for many people. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on, and I'll shut up and give you an opportunity to talk a little bit.
Yes. So we are working at Nuance, as you just said. We have been acquired in September 2004. Of course, since then, our product gains, well, some attraction. Well, Nuance is a really large software company.
Yeah, it is.
You probably know it from other products, you know, like Dragon Naturally Speaking, OmniPage, and all the text-to-speech engines, well, like ETI Eloquence or RealSpeak that you find in several products out on the market. Nuance is a, well, I think now 6,000 employee company. We're still able to do this product, which is in a niche market, but it's a very nice market. And of course, it showcases Nuance text-to-speech technology. Meanwhile, Nuance has also acquired a number of other companies working in the mobile space, larger companies, obviously. Well, for instance, Tejik, who do the T9, products are oriented towards the mobile space. So for me, it's very interesting to now have more people at Nuance, meanwhile, who really understand mobile technology, mobile software, and to cooperate with them and think about future opportunities for Tox. I mean, T9 is obviously something that we always found very important, so we implemented T9 support very early in Tox.
Yeah, I love it, man, being able to type and just have it, especially when you're using predictive text.
That's really interesting working for this company. And of course, if you look at it from the perspective of a blind person, it's really great to work for a company that has all these technology at hand that you need to use anyway. If you look at OmniPage for OCR or, for instance, TTS, of course. So everything's there.
Now, one of the, downsides for some people in the past with going with Symbian is you buy the software to read the screen of the phone, speak the contents of the phone, and then you're locked to that phone. But you've come up with a system, I guess, using the SIM card to give people some flexibility if they switch phones. Why don't you talk about that?
That's true. That's a new development we have implemented for version 4 of Tox. We have received a lot of requests from people who said, okay, I don't want to be locked to the phone. I mean, some really like to change their phones very frequently. We have some users who have 13, 14, or even more Symbian phones.
Wow.
And so if you like to do this, or if you just would want to have the freedom to do it, I mean, whenever you find a new phone that you like, well, go off, sell the old one, buy a new one. As long as the version of Tox that you can use with that is compatible with this new phone, you can simply reuse your SIM license. You can use the same serial number that you get from us, or if in most countries with most network providers, SMS registration would work. So you can get the license to your new phone by simply sending an SMS to our server. And that's all done automatically by Torx. So we are very excited about this opportunity and give users more freedom and hope they will appreciate this. So when Torx 4 is out, this will be possible. Users can also upgrade to a SIM license if they like to for a fee and will be communicated by our dealers. So users should get to our dealers to get pricing information and so on and availability. Obviously, we need to upgrade all the contracts with our dealers to get the new pricing in. And so just contact your Torx dealer if you want to have more information and think about acquiring such a license.
Besides that, what sticks out for you as the developer? Of course, Symbian has its finicky things with audio and...
Well, we have done some major development. Part of it has happened behind the scenes, which is in particular the completely revised audio handling. The user doesn't really notice it. The only noticeable difference is, responsiveness that you have mentioned, is that it works during a call. So you finally can use our TTS engines during a call. You just have to unmute speech and you can use it. While in the past you had to use the Nokia TTS during a call, other TTS engines wouldn't work. And
the sluggish, drunk TTS.
That one, yeah. Well, and of course, you on very new phones like the 6220, I think that has just been launched. On such new phones that run Series 60 third edition FP2 or higher, these phones do no longer allow speech during a call with the Nokia TTS. So with the previous version of the audio interface, it was completely impossible to have speech during a call. And now we are in the unique position to offer this, which also sets us apart from the competition. We have another very important thing that will only be noticeable at a second glance, probably to most users, is that we have implemented a way to allow the user to configure Torx for certain applications. So when you have a third-party application, one of these neat tools that you can buy, and it just doesn't read the screen properly, there's a good chance if the object viewer, which we always had in the 3.6 review, if the object viewer displays the object that contains the text that you want to hear, it's very likely you can configure Torx such that it reads that text automatically.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So basically you can assign, we call it roles to the object, and Torx will treat it as if it had identified these roles by itself. And,
oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
It's a very cool feature. It's very, very powerful. I used it really with numerous applications. Another way to use it is that you can make some applications a little less verbal. So for instance, we always got a request from people to say, well, I don't want to read the date, but on the other hand, I'm interested to know on the main screen, on the standby screen. But on the other hand, I'm very interested to know what profile is up at the moment. So with the new way of configuring applications, you can do it by simply assigning the so-called status role to the subtitle, which is the date or profile name, and then you can press Torx command to read the status information as like in SMS messages when you want to read the text status. It's the same command, Torx followed by a long press of key 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have it all, you know, you can really configure your application the way you like. And this works really for parts of application. So you cannot just do it for the application, the complete application, but you do it on a per screen basis.
That is very cool.
It's really, it's very powerful. We have developed a Daisy player called Daisy2Go. It has been originally been derived from a prototype implementation that has been done by a student whose name is Samantha Bile. She was doing this as a bachelor degree. We have greatly modified it and enhanced the whole thing. So now it's really a proper Daisy player with all the functionality you would expect. Can play Daisy 2.02 books. And of course, we are thinking about Daisy 3. We are also now looking at other opportunities, you know, make this compatible with the US formats, for example. That player is really good. It's really powerful and it's free. If you're a Torx 4 premium user,
free is for me. I like that.
Yeah. So it's really great. I mean, I'm really use it a lot now, and I'm very excited about that.
And just because phones are different, and I'm a geek and I like to play with different phones, I actually, when I got T-Mobile, they gave me a T-Mobile Shadow, a Windows mobile phone, and I hear whispers along the way that you guys are looking into Windows Mobile. Just tell us, what's going on?
Yes, so we have decided to offer a Windows Mobile solution. We will concentrate upon the smartphone part of the business, so we don't think we will offer pocket PC support. But on the other hand, the smartphones get smarter. They will have touchscreens, or currently have touchscreens already. So the
I never missed my
boundary between pocket PC and smartphones will vanish, basically.
Sure.
And at the moment, the first release that we are going to offer will probably not support the touchscreens. Mm-hmm. But we are looking at that for the future. And yeah, we have a nice announcement about that at CSUN that I cannot make at the moment.
No, I understand.
It's very exciting for me to support that platform as well. For, well, current Torx users who want to have this, they can cross-upgrade. We offer cross-upgrades to phones, so they can do that. They can cross-upgrade to these Windows Mobile phones if they like to. And we offer everything for the same prices as we do for Series 60 now. If you have a premium edition Torx, you will see that the Zooms component will appear now if you have not purchased it before. Basically, in the past, we already have adjusted pricing such that Torx and Zooms have the same pricing, has the same pricing as Torx. The best solution is to give every user the opportunity to decide whatever they want to use. And so if you go to the view settings, you can set it up for Torx only, Zooms only, or Torx and Zooms mode. And that's one of the changes that are maybe not very important, but nice.
Now, I had some questions about applications because I did find a great, great resource for applications for all things mobile, I guess, for blind folks. And it's called blindcsea.com. And you can find that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. That's www.blindcsea.com. What are some applications that you would recommend that are just gotta haves in the Nokia N82, for example, for recording phone calls, for playing back streaming audio, for instant messaging? There's a ton of these types of applications out there. What really works?
Yeah, what I really recommend are applications from Symbianware, www.symbianware.com. These applications are typically called best something, like best taskman, best profiles, best call recorder, whatever, best dictaphone, best GSM navigator. And they all have a very high quality, good price. And
they work.
They work. They really work very nice with Torx.
How do you do with instant messaging, for example, with MSN or AIM? Have you found one that works well?
Well, the one that works best at the moment seems to be IM Plus, but even there they have changed the way the contacts are laid out. So you have to use a slightly older version that works better. We are going to look at this for the next release of Torx. So yeah, we have it on our roadmap basically to look at messaging for the next release. For this release, the major thing we have done for application compatibility, besides some smaller issues, is the compatibility with QuickWord. So Torx allows to use QuickWord, which means if you get a Word document on your N82, for example, you open it, this will be displayed in QuickWord, and you are able to read it with Torx as if it was a normal text window. You can go line by line, you can, and everything letter by letter. And if you have E-series phones where you get the edit version of QuickWord, or you decide to buy the edit version of QuickWord, you can use that to edit text on the phone. So I think Torx is the only one that allows to edit.
How about streaming audio? I actually went out and bought Core Player, and of course Core Player doesn't have a demo, but I went out and I bought it, and I just found it to be highly inaccessible. Is there something that you would recommend for, say, listening to Shoutcast that would work?
You can use the Nokia podcasting applications as long as podcasts are
Yeah, that works very well, actually.
That works very well.
Yeah, it does. Audible Air works great, too.
Yeah, you can also, I think there's one called Ogg Play that you can use for streaming ogg files. this cannot stream, but you, it's a great, I mean, it's a great MP3 player. It's the built-in player. The advantage of that one is also that you can also play protected WMA files. So if you use another application like Windows Media Player to copy it to your phone, including the copy protection, you can play, for example, WMA audiobooks.
Overdrive or whatever.
I'm using that a lot. And with the Daisy2Go player, we have, I mean, this is concentrating upon MP3 at the moment because MP3 is the, well, the Daisy format in most cases. What we have done as well is we have implemented a feature that we call Daisyfy. It's not really building Daisy books, but what it does is you have a bunch of audio files, like maybe an MP3 audio book again, or you can even do it with music if you like. You can say Daisyfy this stuff for me, and you, what you get is something on your Daisy bookshelf. You open it and you can play it with our player, which means you have functions like auto resume. You have you can set bookmarks and so on, and can apply that to your other audio material, whatever that is. If you're looking at tools, I mean, there are, of course, a lot more tools you could mention. I mean, things like MS Dict Viewer that works now with Torx. If you change the role of one of the objects, you can read the entrance in MS Dict Viewer if you want to have a dictionary. You can also have you can also access T9 Nav, which is a Nuance product. I mean, you know, we have purchased Tejik, so we have T9 and XT9, and now we have a new product from that group that is called T9F, and that's probably one of the really exciting products, I would say, also for the visually impaired, because it allows you to, well, to do away with the going through the menus to find applications, for example. You simply use, like what you do with T9, you simply press a few letters and you will see all, you can see all the applications, all messages, all music titles, all calendar entries, contact entries, and so on, that match the letters that you have typed according to T9.
Oh, very cool.
Just on the standby screen. So finally have a very easy way to avoid going through the menus. And it's really good. It's really a very cool product and everybody loves it. And it's quite cheap. You know, I think you can buy it now for like $20 or something like that. So.
And where do you get it? Can you get it on Hand and Go or any of these?
I think you can get it at the Nokia Software Market. You should probably also find it. More information about it on the website. It's www.t9navnav.com or .mobi for the phones. That's a very cool product. And of course, that was designed for the sighted people, but it's very useful for the visually impaired. And I mean, in the past, T9 was designed for handicapped and... You know, now it's in the mainstream market, so this is kind of the other way around.
Well, that seems to be the trend that I've seen in most technology anyway. I tell people what is a need for us is generally a luxury for the mainstream. It just kind of makes another case for universal design where maybe we need to relook at the way we're applying these technologies and we're talking to companies about implementing them and just saying, you know what? Let me give you a couple of different scenarios to use it in. You know, instead of saying, let's work for blind people, well, how does this work for you when you're driving in the car, when you can't look down at your screen? Getting the mainstream to think a little bit about different user interfaces for the sake of their own simplicity and let them take ownership really helps in getting the mainstream to finally adapt their mainstream technologies with some accessibility. I mean, we've seen it with the iPod where they brought in the Nano, the voice into the Nano. And now I show it around to people, sighted people, and they're like, man, that's great for when I'm at the gym or when I'm driving down the street and I can't look down at the screen. While the Victor is a very awesome product, you're still not, you know, you're still not with the mainstream.
This is why I prefer to implement such functions in mobile phones because, I mean, if you have a Daisy player on a mobile phone, it's a mainstream thing. It will stay on the market. And, you know, I don't want to carry too many products. I like the phones because they're kind of Swiss Army knives.
Yep.
And you have a lot of functionality. You don't use everything. The one from Scene with Sound, I don't know if you know that site, Scene with
yes.
Sound. He has implemented that nice product, the Java product. The problem with this and also with the Code Factory product is that you always need a blank page to adjust the camera to the light situation, which of course is kind of square. I mean,
yeah.
You don't always walk around with a blank page in your hand.
Yeah, give me a piece of paper for a minute. I don't run around alone. While I love, for example, what the KNFB reader does, by the time I get my reader, I point it at whatever, my wife will say, just let me read it. As I use the N82, it really, the battery on it is actually really good, and it lasts long enough to where I could actually use it for, you know, other stuff than just using the phone. I'm looking for one of those little rechargers. Do you have any suggestions? You know what I'm talking about, where you just plug it into the side of the phone and it recharges it in a little while?
Yeah, I have one of those batteries from ProPorta. It's a 3,400 milliamp battery, and you can plug that battery into your phone and get just shy of three charges, about 2.5 charges. So if you're out in the field,
it really works. I saw one from Nokia, and I tried it, and it didn't work well for me.
Two good full charges and part of another one, you know, but after two charges, you probably want to go ahead and recharge it. So it gives you an extra power supply. Oh, it works great. Yeah.
By the way, Mobler for Last.fm works really well. Last.fm, a website that, you know, does kind of like what Pandora does or plays music.
The N82 is a very good keyboard. I personally use the N95 8GB because the keys are easier to press, so I can type faster. But the N82 is great because of its speed. I mean, it's really, you know, booting up a phone in 14 seconds is really great. You don't have that in Windows Mobile. No.
Any closing comments before we go?
I mean, I can only invite everybody to have a look at Talks version 4 as soon as it's out. Yeah, we are really keen on seeing any feedback. We're already very happy about the feedback that we got from that version that flies around the net at the moment. Thanks for the PR, by the way, to whomever we owe this.
It does have quite a bit of buzz going on right now.
It does.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, and I welcome everybody at our booth. We have a booth in the Renaissance Hotel. We are very excited. We will also showcase Dragon there, and because a lot of people are asking about that as well, and ask about the other Nuance products. So we have folks there to answer your questions about this. And of course, it's any news about Talks.
By the way, is there a website that you can point us at for more information about Talks?
At Nuance, we have the Talks website. Of course, it doesn't yet have the information about version 4. That will come pretty soon. It's www.nuance.com/talks.
Well, thank you very much, man. Take care, and we will see you in California.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. I've always been a fan of Talks, and it's even awesome to meet the guy.
I actually just got an N82 and love it.
I got mine last July, and I'm a little different perspective because it's my first phone. I started with an N82. I have no orientation.
Smartphone virgin.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. And what's cool is HandyTech. Earl and the gang, and actually Kelly Dunn, produced these awesome 6 little tutorials on different aspects of the Nokia N82, and even I learned a few things from them. So it's an awesome job, and they're free, and we'll have a link to that in our show notes for you.
You know, I got to tell you, the folks at HandyTech, they're Serotech resellers, and they are excellent Serotech resellers of all of our products, and of course they sell netbooks and everything, but the most wonderful thing about HandyTech is that they give you packages that work, they give you great customer service, they're friendly people, and they're blind. So they know the products. They don't just warehouse them. Earl's in there doing the research. Kelly's in there doing the training, and they both are just a dynamic group of people to work with. Earl and Kelly have influenced my life just as an individual in so many different ways. First of all, they're both in Minnesota, don't you know, where Serotech is. So I've had the opportunity to spend some great times with them. But I wouldn't have a guide dog today were it not for Earl and Kelly, because I've just seen the way that they had guide dogs and how they were just so free with them. And I wouldn't have Jackson had it not been for the influence of these guys and just leading me to be and understand who I am as a blind person. And that was a huge, important thing for me.
That is definitely a talk show, a podcast we're going to do on that whole process of getting an animal and adjusting and how it enhances your life and for which people it's great for and which people really it's not suited for. But because Ricky's going through that process, and I just saw where she had to change her animal. And I'm sure that's the whole bond between a person and an animal and just styles.
I am not an animal. I'll tell you, the other thing I wanted to remind people of, and this is not an edit, I just jumped at this, is that there is an accompanying tech talk that is taking place tonight. We've actually delayed the release of this podcast and the Tech Talk, they should be hitting the air pretty much at the same time, if not the podcast a little earlier and then the Tech Talk. And what we're going to do is we're going to have just an open conversation about all the different solutions that are available for cell phones, the different versions, the Windows Mobile version, the Symbian versions, even a couple other things that we're going to announce later in the podcast now, and how they affect us as blind people, and how there are so many choices for us to live independently, not break the bank, but still stay connected to loved ones, still participate in things like text messaging and updating our blogs remotely and all of these different things. And also, I just wanted to talk about a little bit about my experiences switching over from my previous carrier, Sprint, whom I never had a problem with, by the way, to my current carrier, T-Mobile, who I am a returning customer and I also never had a problem with. So it's not so much a rant. It's just kind of some things to look at, even as far as buying phones. Sometimes you think, wow, well, if I get my phone from the carrier, it's a great thing. And I actually got my phone from the carrier, but through somebody on the internet, and saved myself a lot of money. So do check the webpage if you're on the System Access Mobile Network. It is tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern it's in the Tech Talk room, right?
Exactly. So get Mike to show his Mobler, a very cool way for listening to music.
Yeah. And speaking of mobile, you did an interview here with the folks at Code Factory. And I'll tell you, having had the Code Factory mobile speak, both Pocket when it first came out and the mobile speak smartphone for my Motorola Q until I retired it and went over to T-Mobile, this is a great product. They also provide mobile speak for Symbian. I was a little disappointed with the sluggishness of it on my Nokia N82, but it still works. And AT is not a religion. If it works for you, hallelujah. None of these people support our programs. We're simply here as a couple of Blink geeks that play with this stuff and just are giving our opinion. Our opinion is as valuable as the next guy's or as invaluable as the next guy's. So always try these products out yourself. They all have demos available. And the one thing I can say about all of these companies is they definitely have a heart to serve our community.
With Sero Talk, this is Michael Loff, and today we're speaking with Caroline Raggett from Code Factory, makers of Mobile Speak, a screen reader for your Windows or Symbian-based cell phone, the Mobile Speak magnifier if you need that screen enlargement. They also have a new Daisy player that we'll be talking about, and of course, Mobile Geo, their GPS solution. Thank you for joining me today, Caroline.
Hello, Michael.
Okay, I guess we'll start. I know you have two new versions out, I guess 2.1 for the Windows Mobile format as well as 3.8 for the Symbian operating system. So why don't you talk about your latest versions of Mobile Speak and what they offer?
Okay, great. So yes, we just released a new version of Mobile Speak smartphone and Mobile Speak Pocket, the version 2.0, so which is our screen readers running with the Windows Mobile operating system. And like a year ago, we implemented a new user-centered license, which allow our users to transfer the license from a device to another without any extra cost. And so we noticed that many users, thanks to this great feature, are switching their phone much more than before. So what we wanted to do with this new version of Mobile Speak smartphone and Mobile Speak Pocket was to support many new devices. So that's the main highlight of this new version, that we support more than 15 new devices.
And I guess you could go to your website and get a list of all the new phones, make sure that their phone is supported. That's very important for people to know.
Yes. For example, I can tell you that among the devices which are the most popular among our users, for the smartphone devices, there is the new HTC S740. But we also support the HTC S640 or the Samsung SGH-i200. And then for the pocket PCs, we just support the AT&T Samsung Epix, which is very, very popular among our users, or the HP iPad 910 and many, many other devices, so that you can check the full list of compatibility in our website.
Okay, and you, the press release I saw mention of support now for the U.S. Bookshare. T- type books, which I guess are in the .zip format. You've added support for people to read those?
Yes. Bookshare just released a new format, so we are working in partnership with them in order to make the BRF book compatible with our Braille reader, which is built in MobileSpeak smartphone and MobileSpeak pocket.
Okay, are there any other features?
That's the most important. Then we can also mention that for MobileSpeak smartphone, there is a new help mode, which is very practical, so that you can get all the information from the user guide directly in your phone.
Oh, very good. Okay, so let's talk about your new GPS solution, Mobile Geo. A lot of people are choosing phones based on that ability. I did a discussion last week about exercise and walking, and 3 out of 4 people who like to walk have GPS solutions. So why don't you talk about Mobile Geo and what it offers?
Okay, so actually that's a great news that I can give you, because we've just released version 1.5 of Mobile Geo yesterday. Mobile Geo is an accessible GPS that we are developing in partnership with Sender Group. So Mobile Geo is the first accessible GPS compatible with mainstream Windows mobile devices. And it can do everything that a commercial GPS can do. You can identify your location, discover nearby POIs, create, follow, edit, and save a route, and many more other things. So I think that Mobile Geo is a very unique product, especially because it has been designed from scratch for the blind and visually impaired, using and taking advantage of all the experience of Sendero. And also one of the unique features is that you can use this user center license that I was talking before, that you can transfer your license of Mobile Geo from a device to another for free. And then one of the most important new features of version 1.5 that we just released is that you can now control Mobile Geo by voice, because we just implemented a new support for Microsoft Voice Command, and I'm sure that that's a feature that most of our users are going to really love. Then also with the new version of Mobile Geo, they updated maps and POI, and we are supporting the new SDK from Sendero, so all the application is much more powerful than before. And also that's important to mention that we've just implemented a pedometer function, which counts the distance traveled. So you can use it to keep track of the distance you walk, for example, as a way to monitor exercise every day. And then also it's important to mention that there is a much easier way to get a free 30-day trial version. All the explanation are in our website, but that's very easy, just to try any maps and try Mobile Geo for 30 days, experience how it is to be able to walk with a mobile phone and an accessible GPS, and then you can contact one of our dealers.
Well, very good. So you have voice commands now, a pedometer, which would be great for people to know how far they've traveled, either walking or just getting from point A to point B when they know how far things are. Very good feature, so folks will check that out.
Yeah, and also I would like to mention that we also make significant improvement with the POI functionality, that you can edit many more POI detail values, such as trip, zip code, city, state, phone, email, web address. And so it really makes the POI search much more powerful and flexible, and you can also define the direction of your search. So if you are walking in a direction, you can decide that the POI search will only get the POI in the direction you are heading, and that's a very important also new feature of Mobile Geo version 1.5.
Okay, very good. What should new cell phone users know? What are some things? Say, I just got a new phone. I just entered the cell phone arena last summer and bought a Nokia N82, and I have MobileSpeak for that. But maybe not that phone in particular, but just some things that new users should know, or maybe some of the most common questions, things that users don't understand about your product. What are some suggestions you would give?
Yeah, I mean, there are many, many users asking us to recommend the devices, and that's really hard to say which devices is the best, because it depends on what you want to do with your phone. So actually what I would say is that first you have to decide if you would like to have a Windows Mobile or a Symbian device. That's very important. And I think that the most important thing is if you are choosing a Symbian device, so a Nokia phone, for example, you have to know that with MobileSpeak, it's also compatible with our mobile Daisy player. So if you really like reading on the go and you have access to Daisy libraries, that's really a good feature because mobile Daisy player is only compatible with Symbian. Whereas, for example, if you are really willing to walk around and use an accessible GPS, then you should go more for Windows Mobile device because Mobile Geo is only compatible with the Windows Mobile platform. So I think that the best way to choose a device is to know what really you want to do with a phone and know that in the market there are some applications which are currently available in Symbian and in Windows Mobile, and you don't have always all the applications compatible with both platforms. It's also important to mention that the very popular KNFB reader application is only compatible with Symbian. So if you want to be able to take a picture and then to have all the information spoken by the voice synthesis of MobileSpeak, then you should go for a Nokia phone. And in Nokia, I mean, in MobileSpeak for Symbian phone, it's also very important to highlight that the web support is very advanced support. You can navigate per control. I mean that if you are navigating in web page, you can navigate per, you can jump per link, you can jump per button, you can jump per paragraph. So it makes the navigation much more powerful. So that would be, to me, if the three good arguments to go for a Nokia phone, for Symbian phone, which would be that it is compatible with mobile Daisy player, it is compatible with the KNFB reader, but be careful because the KNFB reader is only compatible with the Nokia N82 and the Nokia 6220, and also that the support for the web browser is much more advanced in the version of MobileSpeak for Symbian phone. Then my arguments to go for Windows Mobile devices would be that MobileSpeak smartphone or MobileSpeak pocket are compatible with Mobile Geo, which is a great GPS application. Also that maybe I would say that Windows Mobile devices are much more professional oriented. There are the built-in applications such as Microsoft Office, so you can use Word, Excel, Outlook directly in your phone. And also you have the very nice competitive advantage that you can use the user center license and you can activate a license in a device, and you can transfer the license from a device to another without extra cost. And also, it's also important to say that with Windows Mobile, we can notice that the synchronization with the desktop computer is better than in Symbian. So I would say that the main points, if you want to choose between a Symbian and Windows Mobile devices, then in both platforms, there are many, many devices currently available in the market. And then you have to choose if you want to have a GPS receiver, if you want to have a Wi-Fi connection, or if you want to have a QWERTY keyboard. You can find all these features in some devices in both platforms.
Okay, and I guess the other two things I would add, I know some blind folks like to listen to radio, and especially the Windows Media content, that would be a reason, if that's a priority, to go with the Windows Mobile format. And the final thing is those living in the United States who want to or maybe only have the choice because of where they live to go with the CDMA technology that Verizon uses here and Sprint, that they would need to choose a Windows Mobile phone for that as well. But very good comparison there. You mentioned for Symbian you have the Mobile Daisy player. There seems to be a lot of, or a few of those anyway, cropping up these days. So why don't you describe what it does for those who don't know the purpose of a Daisy player?
So Mobile Daisy player is a software application compatible with our MobileSpeak for Symbian phone. It's a Daisy book reader. So if you install some Daisy books that you have in the memory card of your phone, then you only have to open the Mobile Daisy Player application and it will automatically search for all the Daisy format files which are stored in your phone, and then you can choose whatever books you have, and it's just going to play and it's going to be able to read on the go. So you can be wherever you want. You can be walking in the street, you can be waiting in an airport, or you can be commuting in the metro, so that you can read and listen to a DAISY audiobook directly from your phone. And Mobile DAISY Player supports DAISY 2.0 and 3.0 formats. You can bookmark, you can adjust the speed, you can adjust the volume. You can also configure font sizes and screen colors, and you can do many, many things. And we are about to release a new version of our Mobile DAISY Player, which increases the compatibility with much more DAISY books than before.
Okay, very good. Do you have any final comments, anything else you want to address that I didn't ask you?
I would just say that in the last year, Code Factory has been working a lot in what we call mobile tools, in Mobile Geo and Mobile DAISY Player, because we really believe that we have to encourage our users to do much more with their mobile phone, that much more than just making a call and send an SMS. They really can read on the go. They really can explore the world with the GPS, use the internet with the web support, and navigate everywhere in the web. And there's so many things that our user can do with a mobile phone. So that's really something that we want to highlight. And we are dedicating a lot of time and resources to make new applications which can improve all the functionalities of the phone.
Okay, Caroline, why don't you give your contact information, website, maybe an email address, how folks can reach you if they have further questions.
Yeah, sure. So you can contact us at info@codefactory.es, and you can visit our website at www.codefactory.es.
Okay, Caroline Raggett, thank you for taking a few minutes to join me today.
That was a great interview, dude. I really enjoyed that. Very informative, and she's a nice lady.
I'm sure many people want to play around with the latest version of Mobo Geo there and try the voice navigation.
Yeah,
if it truly works, I think that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing, you know, if anybody can call in on the Blab line and or send us an email or voice email or what have you. Tell us if you've been able to kind of A/B Mobo Geo.
Mike Arrigo is going to do a walking demo with both products. So now
I'll get it in here, Mike.
Hopefully he hasn't done it yet, so he gets a new 1.5, so he can compare apples with apples on the two products and see how they stand up side by side, have one in each pocket, and, you know, a Victor or something, so you can hear both devices talking. We'll see how they work going down a common route and a common destination.
I just had a great conversation with Michel Pippin, I hope I pronounced the name right, over at Humanware. And he just told me about the Orator for BlackBerry, which is the world's first accessible piece of software for the BlackBerry. And that's going to be demonstrated at CSUN. Dude, this is just so, so freaking cool. This is so exciting to me that we as blind folks are getting access to all these different platforms.
Then when you combine that with what you look at what TV Raymond is doing, working with Charles Chin. Over at Google, making the G1, the Android.
Come on, Apple. We're waiting for the iPhone. And then we've got the new Palm OS coming up around the corner, the web OS for Palm. So there's many, many mobile platforms coming out. And this is going to just raise the bar a little bit more. I know Michelle is scheduled to talk with you, Michael. So that's going to be exciting. And he's going to be demonstrating for the Serotalk team this BlackBerry product that is going to be available for the Curve at first. It works on the Curve 8900 and the 8700. But by the time it hits the street, right around June or July or so, there'll probably be more BlackBerry products that it supports. They're hoping to get the Bold, anything with a QWERTY keyboard that BlackBerry puts out, they're hoping to make accessible. So it's going to be very, very exciting. It's a great time for us as a community to step up and congratulate these companies. Let them know through email, people. Let them know through constructive criticism that they're doing a good job, they're doing a bad job, they're providing the access we need, the price points we need. Again, back to the Mobo Geo thing, I think Mobo Geo is a great product. It's just expensive as heck, and I really have a big problem with the cost of that And that's one of the big reasons I want to see, you know, Wayfinder versus Mobile Geo, because I just don't think that there's an $800 price difference there in the usability of the two products. I may be dead wrong. Hey, listen, you're talking to a guy who just went out on a limb and got the KNFB reader. And after much cajoling from my staff, from Michael and from Brian, and then Earl is my friend, and he said, listen, try it. You know, you're going to really find it's very helpful. You're out on the road a lot, and I'm waiting. I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to give everybody my honest opinion. Now, I laid down my money, and we'll see how it goes. And at very minimum, I'm supporting a great cause. Again, I know that the price on the product has come down significantly from $3,500 to now it's, $1,495 or something like that, Michael?
$995.
Well, it's $9.95 if you have the phone, but I think it's like $14.95 if you need the phone. And again, Handytech North America with Earl, they sell it, and there's a bunch of other people. You can go to knfbreader.com and get your local dealer who can set these up for you. So, I mean, the price has come down. It's just not at a real, you know, everybody can afford this, and yet everybody really needs it price. And that's kind of what we're all about here at Serotech is seeing that. So CSUN is going to be a blast, dude. I'm really excited about seeing you there.
I know we got at least one announcement for CSUN, our next podcast, so I have to be a tease. I'm following your lead on that. You do it so well.
Oh, you big teaser.
Yeah, you big teaser.
Don't get me started.
So anyway, make sure to join us live for at least on demand, depending on how broadband is out there, but definitely some good CSUN coverage March 19th and 20th and posting thereafter on Samnet Radio and Serotalk.com. Give us your 2 cents or whatever you have, whatever change you have lying around, 866-997-BLAB, that's 2522, or email resources at Serotalk.com.
And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.